This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome into the Husker 24/7 Hoops Cast. I'm Brian Christofferson. I'm joined by Michael Bruntz. We couldn't get Kevin McHale on. We tried. We're efforting that, but we couldn't get him on the pod, even though he was in town Sunday night. That was kind of fun. We're big like 80s, 90s type guys that like hits right in our wheelhouse.
It's a little dangerous. It's like catnip for us. Like you're doing a basketball only podcast, and we're gonna throw Kevin McHale in the mix and just try to dare you guys to not talk about Boston Celtics and Lakers and how great basketball was in the 80s for the whole time.
I heard someone in the back of the media room after Hoiberg's post game where he's talking about Kevin McHale, and I don't know who it was, and it's not a big deal. But they're in their 20s and they're like, who's that? Who's Kevin McHale? And I was like, no. So that was uttered after Hoiberg got done talking about his mentor, Kevin McHale, who appreciated how the Huskers played on Sunday and also was, as you know, I'm a big fan of, was a guest on Cheers twice, I believe. My family watched Cheers a lot in the 80s, and he had one of the best episodes where Norm and Cliff Clavin were debating how many bolts were in the Boston Garden floor. Each had a differing number, and Kevin McHale overhears the conversation and becomes obsessed, and it affects his play on the court because he's trying to count how many bolts are on the floor. That's all you need for a premise for good TV, and they gave it to us back then.
I appreciated it. I went back and watched the clip, and you get Sam Malone pulling the phone up onto the bar. And he's going to call down to the garden to see, to ask the bolt guy how many bolts are in the floor. Like that was his fix for it.
Yeah. Well, Sam was big in, Mayday Malone was big in Boston back then. But we can talk about Cheers, another podcast, I suppose. We'll talk about Nebraska basketball right now. We're still feeling good about things around here with that. They're 21-9 overall, they're 11-8. In the Big Ten after they beat Rutgers 67-56. I'll be honest, Bruntz, this game scared me from Nebraska's end going in because I know that Steve Peichel's teams get after you on defense. They're in your kitchen. Their pressure causes a lot of turnovers, and they crushed Nebraska on the boards last game. And Omar Rui is just a tough matchup for Mast and those guys, or was the first time around. He had 15 rebounds, and they had 25 offensive boards as a team. This time, Josiah Alec comes out and is just a friggin' madman. I mean, he played the game of his Husker career, in my opinion, with 10 points, 12 boards, bunch of floor burns, diving on the, you know, everywhere. Felt like every ball in the air could be his, you know, even ones that where he wasn't even in the picture. And he set the tone, and Juwan Gary helped follow it with 15 and 11. And then Casey goes off for a great senior moment at the end. So it was a nice, tough win. And I think, you know, makes you feel good about Nebraska's positioning now for the dance.
They basically, it felt like they out Rutgers in that game. And your point, and Kevin McHale's point as well, his post-game chat with the team, very brief, was that he loved the first 5 minutes of that game and the intensity that they had. And a lot of that, you're right, was Alec. I mean, he was, you know, you come out in that first possession, you have two offensive rebounds, you get the bucket, to end the possession. Like, that really set the tone. Like, you know, I think Rutgers is going to try to play a game with you where they're, like you said, they're going to be on you defensively. They're going to try to beat you to every loose ball. They're going to try to frustrate you. And Nebraska basically in that first 5 minutes kind of said, like, okay, like we know your game. We can play that way too. And, you know, that was kind of the difference, I think, and why they didn't win in New Jersey when they were up by double digits in that game, was they just got frustrated, and the Rutgers defense was able to really kind of cause Nebraska issues. They did in this game too, but it felt like a lot of those types of 50-50 plays that you have to win to beat Rutgers, Nebraska was able to do in that game.
Yep. Nebraska ended up +4 on the boards. They were actually +12 at halftime. So Rutgers did make up some ground and actually still ended up with 19 offensive rebounds, which was maybe surprising by the end to look at the stat sheet. Nonetheless, the Huskers were always able to kind of keep them at arm's length. It got down to 6 with about 7 minutes left. And it was nervous in the arena. And then Casey had his moments in his final game at PBA. It had been kind of a scuffle the last 2.5 games until then. And I think the biggest leap Casey's made in his career was evident, like, in that stretch. And that's how he can manufacture points without it just being a three ball. You know, he had the cut to the basket for a layup. Then he just took a guy to the hoop off the dribble for an and one. You know, and then of course the 4-point play, which was kind of the signature of the game. And I think was like, it was just a real fitting moment. You know, Casey won't go down as like one of the top 3 or 4 Husker players or anything like that. But as far as how he's like beloved and how the fan base connects to him within the arena, there it was on display on that shot. He goes to the other end of the court, puts the hands, you know, to the ears and all that stuff. So kind of just a perfect bow on that game.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. You did see, you saw kind of every, like the whole arsenal that Tominaga has. And, you know, I think early in his career, he was just kind of known as a 3-point shooter. I don't think people really appreciated the way he moved without the ball and his kind of creativity at the rim too. He had another putback, I think in the first half, yeah, where he kind of went down under the and went up with it. And I think he's kind of figured out that he's able to use his reputation as a shooter to just kind of get cheap points in the lane. I mean, there's times when guys are obviously cheating on that 3-point shot and he either blows by him or makes a really nice back cut, which he had one of those too, in the game. And he kind of gave him a shot of lightning when they really needed it. I mean, when they got it to 6, it that whole game, it felt like, okay, Nebraska should be up by like, they could never get it to like 15 and keep it there. And, you know, he really kind of came through and gave them a little bit of offensive spark, because some of the possessions at that point were kind of haphazard, you know, bad shots. You could tell that the way that Rutgers was defending, you know, Nebraska's, you know, just bringing the ball to court was causing a lot of, not that there was like in danger of a turnover, but Nebraska was never really able to kind of comfortably get into its offense, it felt like, in the second half, until Casey was able to just really just kind of make some plays.
Yeah, it was taking them 10 to 15 seconds to even kind of get the offense going a lot of times. And they had 14 turnovers. And Rutgers is like rated, you know, top 2 defense in the country. They're going to be really good, by the way, going forward. They've got a good recruiting class coming in, and he's just a good coach. Like, that's a program that's not, I mean, Nebraska's a program that's not that joke anymore. That's 11 through 14, and Rutgers is the same way. And that's why this game was so worrisome, because it technically counted as a quad 3 game because it was in the PBA. So you don't get a lot of points for winning at home. And Rutgers' net standing was low enough at 90 that's where it fell. And so by winning this game, Nebraska, I can say this with pretty much certainty now, is going to avoid having a quad 3, quad 4 loss on its resume, which is an achievement in itself, Bruns. You know, you always look at teams when they put it on the screen, like, here's their resume. Usually, a lot of teams will get dented once by somebody where it's like, oh, what happened that night on a Tuesday in December or something. And Nebraska avoided that this year. And I know there's some people like, what about Michigan? They stink record wise. Michigan's still in the quad two category. And just my simple brain configuration of it is there's no way they would count as a quad three loss, because if they beat Nebraska, they're obviously going to stay in the quad two. So anyway, Nebraska is going to avoid that altogether, having that type of loss on paper, which is, I think, should pretty much cement things, but we'll see.
Do you think that Nebraska has gained anything from the way that they've won games like over the last couple weeks? Like, I don't think that I would say that there's too many of Nebraska's wins where, like, they've just been absolutely clicking and, like, playing, like, A-plus basketball. And I think there's – I've always kind of thought, okay, there's, like, a belief that kind of comes with winning games where you're not playing your best. And I wonder kind of what Nebraska's maybe gained from these last couple of weeks, the way things have played out.
You hope a lot of confidence that you can win even on a night when you're maybe shooting like 40% or something like that. Cause when you think about games in March, I mean, there's sometimes like a two seed in the tournament playing a 15 and it ends up being like a 58, 55 kind of struggle. You know, so you get into these games where the other side's just motivated. There's a lot of good defensive intensity on both sides of the court, and it's tough to manufacture points sometime. So you better not give an inch on that side of the floor for you, which Nebraska did in this game. They held Rutgers to 32.8%. From the field. Part of it's Rutgers just not a good shooting team right now. Defense is their calling card. Offense is not. They were 4 of 25 from behind the arc. But I think you're right, Bruns. Like, they won this game by 11. They won the game against Minnesota, who's playing good ball, by 18, and didn't just light the world on fire. They beat Penn State by 19. Same thing. It wasn't like great offense or anything. So now the question is, can you make that defensive intensity and what you have in PBA portable? Because every game, obviously, from here on out is outside of that gym. So it is encouraging, though, because I think that's how you win a game or two in the dance.
I guess kind of going through, like, the senior day stuff. I mean, it's COVID. All the COVID years and everything have kind of made it tough to know, you know, who's what year, what are they doing, what are plans, they might be something else. So the seniors that were honored, it was Alec Tominaga, CJ Wiltshire.
CJ Wiltshire is a junior, but walked because he graduated. He could come back still. And Boogie Coleman.
So, I mean, just to very briefly, just ever so quickly look forward to next year.
Quickly.
How much do you kind of read into who was honored and who wasn't, and should you and should you not read into that? About, because then you got Mask, you've got Williams, you've got a lot of those guys that still have eligibility left.
Probably a little dangerous, but all those guys probably could have a pretty good NIL situation here. We're talking about guys that can make money at the next level somewhere, but not the big league necessarily. And so I think there's a lot of reasons why they would want to come back. Derek Walker could be a good case point for them. Came back for that last year, and it really benefited him as a player. So I think those guys are going to come back. I don't know. There's a long off season, so you never know what can happen. But that was sort of the beauty of the guys he brought in, that wasn't given enough credit. For one, we didn't know exactly what kind of players they'd be at Nebraska yet, but like Mass and Bryce Williams, to get guys out of the portal like that who are just grown-ups and, oh, they could actually technically play 2 years here still. And it seems like Gary should be near the end of his eligibility, but he's still got one more year left. I think Wiltshire could come back and still have a big presence on this team. He hit two big threes in that game, and I feel like still might have that one rocket ship game in him down the stretch off the bench where he really matters when it all matters. So that is an exciting piece for Husker basketball, is that not everything is just falling apart, which tends to happen in today's modern college sports. It's like, I like these guys, but oh, they're gone the next year. In this case, maybe that's not going to be what happened.
Yeah. The Williams is an interesting case. I mean, is of the guys that they got out of the portal, I mean, he was probably the sneakiest, most important get, right? I mean,
yeah.
As an example, I mean, you look at that when that game starts getting tight late against Rutgers, he's the one bringing the ball up the court. Like, he's the one that is handling the ball a lot, is kind of making the small plays that, you know, not the KSA plays where he's, you know, splashing threes and things like that, but just the steady plays that you have to make down the stretch this time of year.
Yeah, and he looks like a guy you just trust with that beard and everything. You're like, man, could talk house projects with him, act like I know what he's talking about as he answers some questions about how you would fix this thing. But yeah, he's dependable. And here's an interesting stat, and Bryce Williams kind of connects to this. So in Nebraska's 10 PBA wins, again in the league, five of them featured a different guy who was the leading point getter. So that's pretty impressive, really, you know, that you just didn't have like two guys who lead you in points all the time. It's actually spread out between five. Bryce Williams actually wasn't one of them, kind of surprising. Alec was for one, and he had a big game against Northwestern. But Bryce, remember, had like almost a triple-double against Purdue. And he has all these stats that are very not quite to that level, but he has these games where, like on Sunday, he had 8 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, and was plus 14. He was like one of their most useful players on the court. Like, he wasn't the leading scorer, but if you could make the case when you say who's the most valuable player on this team, that's why it's a fun team, because that's a fun discussion, because you could actually throw Bryce in there. You could still throw Rink in there, even though he's been a little cold of late. KSA, obviously. I mean, there's all these ways you can go with it.
Yeah. No, it's been impressive to watch, and it's fascinating to kind of go back and read some of the conversations about this team at the start of the season, because that was seen as the balance was seen as a potential red flag that things were not going to work for this team.
Nobody was gushing on the outside about Nebraska's portal pickups. Like, it was thought of like, oh, that's nice. Like, you know, when you would see the things like Mast and Bryce. But I think behind the scenes, Fred and his crew thought they had the right pieces that would fit together. But you never know. And it's worked out pretty well. You'd still want to finish this thing Sunday and take any mystery out of it, which I think is mostly gone. But, you know, go win at Michigan and then it's definitely gone, and you get the double bye, which we can talk about now if you want.
Yeah. Real quick on the Michigan game, what's your level of concern with this one?
I think it could be a tricky game, because I just think any game away from your arena in this league is can be hazardous if the other team is motivated. And I know Michigan's record and how bad they can look on a given night. I also know that dudes who wear the Michigan uniform have some ability, and for a given 40 minutes could play really well. Also, you'd never know, especially when you get to like the final Sunday. I don't know if it'll be an emotional day of any sort for them, like their home game. The Juwan Howard situation, how bad it's gone, I don't know where that's at this moment. But will they play hard for him? You know, all that stuff. You don't know. And it's an early tip. It's 11 a.m. here, our time. And that's after daylight savings time. So it's basically, what, 10, right? Actually, like playing at 10 a.m., kind of. So it could be a tricky one. Nebraska's just got to go out there and pretend like their season's on the line. Just look at it that way. And there is a lot on the line. It definitely, without a doubt, furthers your case with the NCAA tournament, which I already feel good about, but it helps. And then you're in the double bye if you win. So the double bye situation is this.
Yeah, give me some math here. Educate me.
Well, you can really get in the weeds with it, but basically Nebraska can be between a 3 and 6 seed still, possibly. The 3 seed's very much in play, because Northwestern is a half game ahead but has some tricky games to finish and is pretty beat up. I don't know if you've been paying attention to Northwestern, but they're just suffering injuries left and right. So they play at Michigan State, and then they host Minnesota to finish. So they're a half game up on Nebraska, but Nebraska, if it were just a tiebreaker with Northwestern, would get the advantage. So if they end up just those two teams tied, Nebraska would be the three seed. So that's possible. Wisconsin can get to 12 wins as well. But they would have to, they have to beat Rutgers at home, and then they'd have to win at Purdue. So good luck with that. The best guess is they finish 11-9. Bottom line is there can be a jumble at 11-9 if Nebraska allows there to be. Like if Nebraska loses to Michigan, then you put yourself in danger where Wisconsin's 11-9. Michigan State still could be 11-9. I wouldn't count that out. Minnesota could be 11-9, as could Iowa, which plays Illinois in the final game, but it's in Iowa City and they're playing really well right now. So there's a possibility for like four or five way tie at 11-9. And then all those, like, you know, you've kind of seen these friendly tiebreakers that favor Nebraska and certain with like two or three teams that we've kind of focused on because there's a thing that involves Purdue and Nebraska obviously won that game. But that all goes sort of out the window when it's like a four or five way tie with some of these other teams. And then you have to count like your loss to Iowa and stuff like that. So it might not go as favorably if that happens for Nebraska. So win and you're not playing till Friday in Minneapolis in the quarterfinals.
So a win locks them into the double bye.
Yeah. 12-8. There's no way. There's no way they could be outside of it at this point if they win.
So handle your business. That's the name of the game.
Yeah. If real quickly, if there's a three-way tie at 12-8 with Northwestern, Nebraska, and Wisconsin, the way it works out between them, Nebraska's the second of those three teams in that. If you do the numbers. So they'd still be the four seed. So that would be fine. And they win a head-to-head tiebreaker with Wisconsin, and they win a head-to-head with Northwestern. And those are the only teams that can get to 12. Or Northwestern's already there, but everybody else can only get to 11. So, yeah, it's as simple as go up to Ann Arbor and get it done.
That's easy enough. I can get that. I can get my head around that one.
Like, go win. Yeah. And everybody feels better about things. My phone's buzzing. I thought it was Bronze. I was like giving him the evil eye. It's my phone, like a foot next to me. Potential spam is what it was too.
Oh, well, I'll send it to voicemail. You kind of broached it off air the other day. We can talk about it real quick and then finish on this because I was curious to kind of know your thoughts because I think we think similarly about it.
This isn't what I said about the general public, is it?
No. Well, okay. The general public will have an opinion on this, I'm sure. How strong of a candidate is Fred Hoiberg for Big Ten Coach of the Year in your mind?
I think very strong to quite strong, as it said in Meet the Parents of the portfolio. I think that's how it reads. If you think about it, almost everybody had this team like still in that like 12 or 13 pick, you know, before the season. And sometimes it's easy for people, and I hope the voters don't forget this, or any coaches. The general voters that, yes, by January, you knew Nebraska was better than what you thought like in November, but let's not forget about what we thought in October or what people on the outside believed was going to happen. Same goes for how us around here react to the team. People act like, will it be a success unless they win a tournament game or something? I'm like, yes. I mean, think about like, if you had said, if I on our message board in October, certainty, they're like, hey, they're going to make the tournament. You would have got some pushback from people like, give me a break, you know, like NIT maybe. That's the stuff you would have heard. Now, there was maybe a few like real Husker hoops heads out there who believe because they're just that way. And that's good to have that kind of optimism. But I don't think most people saw exactly what they're doing coming and they're, or them running the table by in the Big Ten at home. I mean, when you think about it, if they didn't have like the win over Purdue, if they didn't have those special moments against Wisconsin, because of the road struggles, maybe we're not talking about what we are right now about them getting in. So they've had to do a lot of things just right without falling off the cliff with a lot of pressure games to get to this point. So all that to say, yes, I do think that he, I think he should be the Big Ten coach of the year. I'm sure you could throw a couple other candidates in the, in that window. I always think Collins does an amazing job at Northwestern. You know, so you'd have to consider him. Sometimes I feel like guys like Painter get screwed because it's like you have such a great team, your coaching doesn't get recognized. But yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody in the league would flinch at all if Hoiberg got that award.
I'm trying to think who else, like Minnesota, I think probably far exceeded what they were.
I would put him right up there. I would put him, Ben Johnson, Hoiberg, and Collins right up there.
That's your Heisman ballot in no particular order.
Yeah. I mean, some people in Illinois would say Underwood should be in consideration. They've handled their business well. But I think people around the league could get behind Hoiberg. You'd be like, yeah, that makes sense. Like, you know, I think if you ask people in Illinois right now or Indiana, they'd be like, yeah, that probably fits the description of coach of the year, like what he's done as compared to expectations before the season.
And I think, I don't know. Obviously, it probably doesn't factor in a lot of people's minds when they vote for those things. I don't even know how much thought gets put into those by a lot of people. But I mean, when you also consider kind of like the body of work and like maybe where the program was like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about a guy that had to meet certain metrics to, you know, basically continue coaching at Nebraska and has done this. And, you know, does that matter? I don't know. I mean, you know, to me, I think sometimes it's as simple as where was this team picked preseason? Where did they finish? I mean, if you would have said back in November that Nebraska was going to be in very, very strong contention to be a double bye team in the Big Ten tournament, people would like, I think even the most positive Nebraska basketball fans would not have believed that.
Absolutely. And regardless of what happens at Michigan, I mean, the fact that they're just one win away from that and are in that 3-5 seed type of discussion. Yeah, I think that should be it. I do think he should get it. Even as we talk it through, it's even convincing me more that he's the guy who should get that award. And also, you got to think back to just like his and his staff's eye for who to bring in from the portal, like is such a big part of it now, like in the off season, and they just hit home runs there with guys. And by the way, did it with, you know, the Aaron Ulis was supposed to be the point guard and that falls through for you. And so you've worked around that, you know, and Rink Mast has some of the people won't even realize this probably, but you know, he has the procedure in December and all that and fights through it. And you're getting a lot out of him. So I think he deserves it as much as anybody. I think Ben Johnson's right up there too. Minnesota far exceeded what I thought they would be.
Yeah. I mean, he was kind of seen as like a dead man walking at the start of the year. Like a lot of the conversation up there was like, can we get Craig Smith? We should get Craig Smith. Craig Smith is our guy at the end of this year. And I mean, that's not even, I don't know. I mean, like that's not even a consideration right now based on how they played.
Last one for you, Bronce. NCAA brackets, of course, is the biggest thing and bigger than double buys and all that. You kind of look at them. It feels like Nebraska has moved on sort of from that, definitely from that last four in territory, or even, you know, first four to not have to play in the play-in games and all that. Like, it feels like they're like 10 to 15, 10 to 12, maybe from the edge. Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that what you're getting?
That's my sense of it. I mean, I think the Ohio State loss really didn't hurt all that much. I mean, you still see it out there about how, you know, Nebraska's only got the one conference road win. I mean, they have a chance to add to that this weekend, obviously. I mean, to me, they feel like a really strong 10 seed right now. I mean, most of the bracket matrix stuff has them as like, you know, 9 to 10 range. You know, I haven't seen them on a last four in play in type line for a couple weeks. So I think you take care of business against Michigan, you go to Minneapolis, and there you're basically, it's a little house money there. I mean, I think, you know, you're only playing to improve your seed. There's no danger there. The other thing is, like you said earlier, I mean, if you just look at Nebraska's team sheet, like, what are potential negatives there? Like, you have a lack of conference road wins. Well, it's been more difficult this year for whatever reason to win on the road. I mean, you know, top 10 teams have struggled significantly to win on the road at a higher clip than what's normal. You know, if Nebraska beats Michigan, they're going to be completely clean in quad three, quad four. So they handle their business there. And, you know, the only kind of thing that you potentially hit them on is non-conference strength of schedule. But I don't think that carries as much weight given what they've done in the Big Ten. So, and plus you have the, you know, the win over Purdue and the win over Wisconsin are huge for Nebraska in terms of just making that resume look even better. Beyond just the obvious, like, just tiebreaker considerations within the Big Ten standings, too.
They won 6 of their 10 games in league play at home by 14 or more. I mean, it wasn't like these weren't close games. You know, they beat Purdue by 16. That was a game where last couple minutes they took over on the score sheet. But nonetheless, I feel like they're in now. And I felt that way. You could see how excited Fred Hoiberg was, or just like, I felt like there was a lot of joy in him in the post game, even Sunday, about like where they're at right now. So it sure looks good. Go beat Michigan and just like, you know, don't even let that conversation enter the air anymore, because it wouldn't after that point. And it would also, like, if you're like a worst case scenario person, the only thing now is if you did lose to Michigan, and then it puts you to like a 5-6 seed, and then you get that kind of game on Thursday where there's a little bit of nerves from some people, because it's like, okay, what if you lose now to the 11 or 12 seed, which when you get to those Big Ten tournaments, anything can happen. So there's that. But I feel pretty good about the whole resume and where it sits. But the double bye would be fun, because it puts you one win from playing on Saturday in the Big Ten tournament, and playing in that CBS window and all that stuff. And that'd be great for Nebraska basketball just to have that profile going into the tournament.
Yeah, definitely fewer nerves, I think, kind of going through the long week here than maybe what there were last week, wondering how Nebraska was going to handle things. So, I mean, and to your point, I mean, you've got Fred Hoiberg in the post game quoting George Costanza. Kind of tells Wisconsin you how good he was feeling after that one.
Yeah, he was for the reference, he was being asked about, remember he did like that dance video before the season and kind of a track suit, and he quoted the line about being ensconced in velvet or whatever all day if they'd let him. So it was feel good. It was a feel good post game with Fred and Josiah in the fur coat. As this team looks like it's on the right track. It's been kind of fun to cover them and not have all our focus be on list for spring 10 football or for spring football. So that's been good. But we do have football. We have baseball coverage, who, by the way, is looking pretty good. And we'll have all that on our site. And of course, everything towards Nebraska's march towards the NCAA tournament. Thanks for listening, and come back to the Husker 24/7 site for all the latest.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.